Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, from a 5K race to a 50K ultra marathon.
I basically told myself that, you know, if I survive and get to 5K, I'm doing all right. Probably will never, ever be able to run more than 10, because who does that? And then next thing you know, I signed up for a half marathon, and I said, okay, well, I made it to 10. If I can make it to 10 and not die, I'm pretty sure I could do this.
Running the neighborhoods of Bangkok.
We tend to explore a little bit, which is fun, different parts of the city. One thing about Bangkok, you know, this is known as the land of the smiles, Thailand, and people are very friendly, so you don't feel ever at risk or anything running anywhere, even in, you know, lower socioeconomic neighborhoods that, you know, maybe different people live in there. And it's very safe. You can run anywhere and people greet you and smile at you, so that hasn't been an issue at all. You can run any place. So it's kind of been a bit of a discovery, which has been a lot of fun.
And a race to make the streets safe for everyone.
If in Afghanistan, if they could use a run to create a safer place, what if we could do that here? You know, why couldn't we apply that same idea to Canada? Why couldn't we reclaim some of these spaces and be able to say, you know, everyone should feel safe to run at night. Everyone should feel safe to run in their community. You know, that should be something that is a basic human right.
All of that and more coming up on iRun Radio. We are joined now by the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hi, Ben.
Hey.
How's your week been?
Oh, feeling great. Thanks very much. You?
And the training, how's that going? Because you and I are going to Boston. We're very excited about that. Looking forward to the Boston Marathon in April, and we're really just 2 months away now.
Yeah, I mean, and the training is going good. It's hard with these long lead times. My training tends to go in peaks and valleys, and like I can't sustain peak training mode, you know?
Right.
So I was in peak training mode for like 3.5 weeks, and then I just get like tired of it.
Yeah.
I get, you know, but so, and then I have like a sort of a relapse a little bit, and now I'm back, and then I get back up. So I'm back towards a mountain. I'm doing my, you know, I'm back at the top of my mountain, and I'm looking towards Boston with my leg muscles flexed.
And that's the way it's got to be in some ways, right? I mean, you've got to have, they talk about, it's a bit of a clinical word, but they talk about periodization, right? You want to go through, and even elite athletes need to go through uptimes and downtimes. You can't be at maximum capacity all the time, mentally or physically.
It's a funny thing, though, you know, at 43, you know, I've been doing this for a while. And it's like I'm constantly, I mean, I guess that's one of the great things about running is that you're, I guess if you could get it licked, right, it wouldn't be any fun anymore. If you, like, I know that about periodization or however you said that word.
Let's try that one more time. Periodization. Periodization.
Periodization. Okay.
There you go. You got it.
But, you know, you forget. You forget. You forget every time.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and there's that instinct, right, that you just want to go, right?
That's the thing.
No matter what somebody might tell you and how much you might grasp it intellectually, that running more and running harder every single time is not going to make you better, that you need to rest and recover and you need to have cycles. There's still that burning instinct to kind of push yourself every time.
Yeah, you know, I do the same thing, too. Food is a big one with me, too, where it's like, you know, I won't have a morsel of popcorn. But it's like, I can go 3 weeks without a morsel of popcorn, you know? But then, you know, at 3 weeks in one day, I've got, like, an extra large tub and a gallon of root beer, you know?
Yeah.
Better you have a small, you know, a lot of different people say this, you know, better have a small popcorn every 3 weeks than you have to, like, you know, you binge and purge.
Yeah. And my thing with I'm not a big popcorn person, but when it's, whether it's potato chips or crackers or, you know, anything that's got the munchy component to it, once I start, I can't stop, right? That's the thing, you know, so it's,
yeah,
that's part of why I run, you know, I've got to have a reason not to do that. And I've got to have a way of burning it off when I do. So
yeah,
it's all part of the mix.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's a fun thing. And then you know what happens. It's like, then you're like, God, I can't wait for this training to be over. And I'm just going to sit down with a banana split. And like, maybe you do that once or you do it twice.
Yeah.
And then that quickly loses its novelty as well.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Where is the most interesting place in the world that you have run?
Wow. That's a big question. Well, okay, I would say, I don't know about the most interesting, but I would say I had a fantastic run in my mother's backyard not too long ago, and I just felt like, you know, I think I ran like a PB 10K just going, and for whatever reason, I had the runner's high.
Okay, that's good.
That question as, I'm going to interpret that question like that.
But not actually in your mother's backyard. You mean near your mom's house, right?
Yeah, my mom's house.
You weren't doing laps of her backyard.
In her backyard, no, yeah. That would be not super interesting. But I had the runner's high. I just felt
that's cool.
You know, I was coming off a prolonged period. But the other way, I would say Jerusalem.
Yeah,
I ran the Jerusalem.
I was going to suggest that because I know you did that marathon. You did the Jerusalem Marathon a few years back, right? Which is
You're running, you know, where they say Jesus walked with the cross, and people are running beside you and stopping and weeping, and you know, it started to hail, and you know, the runners were applauding the heaven. Like that was, you know, that was
that's pretty cool.
That was pretty good. But it was a long time ago. You know, that's getting further and further in my rearview mirror. So
yeah.
My mom's thing was recently.
We're going to talk to a guy on the show today who's from Ottawa, but he has been overseas teaching in Thailand, and he's going to tell us about some of the events that he's participated in there and some of the places he's run, like in Bangkok. You know, it's just a completely different part of the world. I've never been to Southeast Asia. I'd love to go there sometime, but that's not a part of the world I'm familiar with. So he's going to share some of that journey with us coming up on the show today. I've run in Europe. I've run in South America. I've run all over North America, of course, but never that part of the world. So I'm really looking forward to chatting with Rob coming up later on the show.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Hopefully we get the chance someday.
Yeah. All right, good stuff, Ben. Keep going with the training and not with the popcorn. Try to hold off on that.
Periodization.
Now you've got me mixed up on this. Periodization.
Periodization. Okay, very good.
All right. And I will buy you some popcorn in Boston, all right?
See you soon, sir.
Okay, thanks, Ben. That's Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, running the streets of Thailand. Discover the Pentathlon des Neiges, presented by MEC, the world's biggest winter multisport with 6,000 participants on the historical Plains of Abraham. It's also for you. Visit pentathlondesneiges.com. Welcome back to iRun Radio. iRun Radio is on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa. And you can also listen to the podcast and check out past editions of the show at irun.ca. Just click on radio. Our first guest this week is Rob Latterroot. He's a teacher from Ottawa who's been working in Thailand the last 2 years and embarking on some amazing adventures while he's been there. Rob, welcome back to iRun Radio.
Nice to talk to you, Mark. It's really great to talk to somebody from back home.
Yeah. And how are things in Thailand?
It's very good. It's warm. I think the biggest adjustment for me here, and I'm also teaching here and teaching physical education, has been the heat. I mean, it's unrelenting. It's constant. So that's been a big adjustment. But I'm not complaining because I know it's been quite cold back home. But from an athletic standpoint, to train over here and to run over here, it's been a challenge because it's very, very warm and humid.
Yeah, there are two big challenges in running. One is when it's too hot, and the other is when it's too cold. So how do you get around that? What do you run early in the morning and late at night?
Yeah, well, it's hard to run early in the morning during the week simply because we get up at 5 a.m. as it is to get to school because our school is slightly outside of the city. So we're up at 5, we're on the road by 6, and we get to school at 7, and we start at 7:20. So it's kind of hard to run in the morning. So what I usually do when I have a prep period sometimes at school, I'll go for a run at school. It's at different times during the day, and depending on the heat, sometimes those runs may be as short as just 30 minutes, probably the longest 45 minutes. So during the week, my runs are fairly short. I run along what's called a Klong, which is kind of an interior waterway in and around where some of the local people live. So it's kind of nice. It's quiet, at least. But sometimes the Klong might have a few odors, so that can be a bit of an issue, but because of the heat and humidity, you know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes sometimes is max.
Yeah.
On the weekends, I get up early on the weekends with a buddy of mine that I've met here, an American gentleman, and we run at usually 5:30, 6 o'clock on Saturday or Sunday, depending on how the weekend works out, and that's when we get our long run in. Right now we're running, last weekend we ran 2.5 hours because we're preparing for a half marathon in Singapore in May. So, so we're getting the long runs in the morning, and some mornings are not bad. Some mornings are more difficult than others because of the heat or humidity, but some of them are decent. I couldn't run during the day, though, that long. Especially me, I'm a bigger guy. It would really affect me. I know it would.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about just how hot it gets and how humid it gets.
Well, the humidity, sometimes you walk outside and it just feels like, I think you heard this expression before, like a blanket. When you walk out, it kind of just drops on you. Consistently, our temperatures here throughout the whole year are probably in the mid-30s, 34, 35 degrees. So it can get pretty warm, especially during the middle of the day. So as I mentioned before, if I'm running at a school during the middle of the day, then it's a very short run because it's just way too hot, way too hot. Mornings are not bad. Usually the mornings are mid to high 20s when I go on the weekends. So it's more manageable, but sometimes even if the temperature's okay, if the humidity is up and it's really humid, you know, you still come back, you're soaking wet. You're just from head to toe, it's like you've been in a shower.
Yeah.
So definitely has been an adjustment for sure. And I happened to, when I first came over here, I gave Ray a call and I said to Ray Zahab, and I said, you got to help me out here because I know he's run a lot in the heat and that, as he's doing right now in Namibia. And I said to him, you know, how can you prepare for this slightly? So, in the evening before I run long, I'll have some electrolyte drink and then I'll have one in the morning as well before I run. And then, of course, I take it with me. And the odd time, sometimes you'll have to stop some, even though I wear a belt, you'll have to stop someplace and get some in some of their 7-Elevens in every corner here. So that's not an issue. You can easily get some stuff. And sometimes we'll have to do that just to stay hydrated and that. But, you know, you make it work. It's a bit of an adjustment, but you make it work. And so far, so good.
And are there a lot of other people running in Thailand? Is it a place where people run?
Well, there is a large group of locals that do run. There's a park in the middle of Bangkok called Lumpini Park. And you'll see when we often run from our home, which is about five subway stops or train stops to Lumpini Park. So that's about 6 kilometers. We'll get there. And then Lumpini Park itself is a 3-kilometer loop. And that loop can be pretty crowded on a Saturday, Sunday morning with a lot of people running. So I would say, you know, in that core area, there are a few, but you rarely see people out on the streets in the city and that running. So rare. And half the time when you do see people out in the street running, it's like myself. They're expats. They're people from someplace else who are just trying to maintain their training. You don't see a lot of Thai people running out in the city streets. You'll only see them in the parks. But I find going around a park, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, just a little too boring sometimes. So we tend to explore a little bit, which is fun, different parts of the city. One thing about Bangkok, this is known as the land of the smiles, Thailand, and people are very friendly, so you don't feel ever at risk or anything running anywhere, even in, you know, lower socioeconomic neighborhoods that, you know, maybe different people live in there. And it's very safe. You can run anywhere, and people greet you and smile at you, so that hasn't been an issue at all. You can run any place. So it's kind of been a bit of a discovery, which has been a lot of fun.
Very cool. And while you've been there, you've been traveling, obviously, and you've also done some incredible mountain climbing as well, right?
Yeah, last year was a pretty fun year. I climbed Kinabalu down in Borneo last year in May. That's just a shade under 14,000 feet. So that was quite enjoyable. It was a 2-day climb. And then this summer I came home. I was only home in Ottawa for 3 weeks. And then I left with a group of 18 people that I had arranged with that we met and went to Kilimanjaro. And we climbed Kilimanjaro in August. And then I came back here. And when I first got hired here, I told the director who hired me, who actually happens to be from Ottawa, his name is John McGrath. He's the director of our school here in Bangkok. I told him that my dream was to always go to Nepal, to go to Everest Base Camp. And so in October, I got that opportunity. Besides the time I had off for our October break, he was kind enough to give me an extra 4 days. And so I went to Nepal and climbed Everest Base Camp with another a female associate from the school and a friend from back home.
Wow.
So, yeah, I just finished that in October. It was great. It was awesome.
Yeah, sounds incredible. And tell me about some of the events that you've run while you've been in Thailand. You mentioned you're getting ready for a half marathon in Singapore. What else have you done?
Yeah. Last year, we went up to Siem Reap in Cambodia, and there's a beautiful run there called the Angkor Wat International Half Marathon, and it's run in amongst all the temples in Siem Reap in Cambodia. That was beautiful. Very flat, which was nice, not many hills at all, but you're running in some of these, you know, the temples that are from the like 10th, 11th century, so really, really historic and just a beautiful place. So that was last year, and then in the city, in Bangkok itself, I probably run about 5 or 6 10K races. We just do that kind of as part of our training. I just did one last weekend called the Dino Run, and 2 weeks before that, we did one for the European Union, and, you know, different events that come up, and we have a couple friends at the school who are decent runners, so they kind of target them all the time, and we got another one coming up called the Music Run, so that keeps us going. And then, as I said, in May, I'm going to go down. My daughter works in Singapore, and this is going to be her first half marathon, so I'm not looking to do any major time. I think I'm going to run probably most of it with her and encourage her along, and then
we'll see how it goes
from there. But yeah, that'll be in May, and that run is at night, which is interesting. It starts at 7:30 p.m. again to get out of the heat of the day.
And how do the events in that part of the world compare to the ones here in North America?
They get pretty good participation levels. It's kind of funny. I made a connection here because the timing company that times all these events is Sportstats.
Yeah.
But it's Sportstats Asia. It's a different division of Sportstats, of course. But I know Mark Roy from Sportstats in Ottawa has been over here a couple times in Phuket and that. We almost met in Bangkok, but something had come up for him. So they run them. So they do a pretty good job. They're probably a lot more low-key. They just don't get too, it's kind of the Thai lifestyle. They kind of sit back on that. But I would say, you know, things start on time, which is good. Most races are run very, very early. Like, most races start at 6 a.m. So, you know, you got to get there pretty early in order to run. But, you know, you're appreciative of that because obviously you're finished fairly early and you don't have to worry about too much about the heat of the day. So that's a good thing. But yeah, timing wise, they're right on. They start on time. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff they provide at the end of the events, lots of it. So I would say it's very similar. It's very similar to back home. Not that different at all.
And is there anything else you aspire to do while you're in that part of the world? Places you want to run, events you want to do, anything like that to take advantage of the fact that you have this unique opportunity to situate yourself in a different part of the world?
Yeah, well, it's kind of nothing specific other than the Singapore half marathon. I think that'll probably be the last big event until, because then we're coming home in June. So. And we're coming home for good. We're not returning next year. So,
okay.
But no, I think Singapore will be the last kind of big run for me. And then when I come home, I kind of started to think about, I got a brand new bike at home that I didn't bring here because there's no way you can cycle in Bangkok. It's absolutely crazy with the traffic. But when I get back home, I think I'd like to start triathlon training again. I'm swimming here at this school. We have a pool here, and I'm running. I'm just not cycling. So I might start to get into a little bit of cycling training and hopefully start to do maybe a few local races again and just see how that pans out. So we'll maybe target that for this summer, starting to do a little bit of training that way.
And is there a place back home here in Ottawa that you miss running when you are in Thailand? Is there a place where you think, I can't wait to get back home and run in this particular spot?
I lived in Karp when I was living in Ottawa, of course, and there's a road just down the hill from my place called, and I'm sure you've heard of it, Old Karp Road. It goes between March Road on one side and actually crosses right over to March Road on the other side, more into Kanata. And it's tree-lined and it's quiet. That's the road I really miss because I did a lot of my runs there. And I also ran a fair bit on the South Highlands Trails, the Kanata cycling trails in that same area. So, yeah, I miss those areas. It's nice. And, I miss the nice, cool fall runs. I mean, I really miss that. And I'm trying to describe to some of the kids here that I'm teaching about running back home and, you know, minus 20. And, I mean, they can't even fathom it. There's no way they understand that at all. And I say how much, you know,
we don't really wear that much clothing, I said, because, you know, once you get out there and start growing, you get pretty warm, and they just, they look at you like you're talking something completely foreign, so it's kind of comical. But
yeah.
I miss running in the cool weather. I'll definitely, probably the season I miss the most being over here is the fall, there's no question, so I look forward to that next September and October, being in Ottawa and running in the fall.
All right, well, we look forward to seeing you back home, Rob. It's great to check in with you again. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
I appreciate it, Mark. Thank you very much. And I'd like to say hello to everybody in Ottawa, and we'll see you next summer.
That's Rob Latterud of Ottawa, who's been living and working in Thailand for the past 2 years. Coming up next, how did one woman get from 5K to 50K races? We'll be right back. Canada's longest-running marathon, the Scotiabank Calgary Marathon, is a challenging, competitive, and fun event with a race designed for everyone of any level. Register now at calgarymarathon.com and experience the vibrancy of Calgary on May 27th. Jenny Pham started running only 4 years ago with the goal of doing a 5K race. Now she's doing ultra marathons. Jenny, it's great to talk to you. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Tell me about how you started running. I understand it started when you got back from a big trip. Is that right?
Yeah, my then boyfriend, now fiance, and I decided to go to Southeast Asia for just over 3 weeks. And after vacationing for 3 weeks, you come home and you're 10 pounds heavier going, oh my God, I need to do something about this. And I remember that I used to run back in my junior high school days. So I thought, you know, it's the easiest thing you could do. You just put shoes on and you go outside and you start moving. Well, fast forward 4 years later, it is the most expensive thing I have ever done in my entire life.
Why is it so expensive? Running doesn't have to be expensive.
Because I need all the shoes in the entire world and every piece of gear possible to match every single outfit. Because at the end of the day, I'm still kind of a girl.
All right. Well, that's all right then. That's part of what makes you enjoy it, I guess.
Exactly.
And you went from thinking, oh, maybe I could run 8-10 kilometers, something like that, to doing your first half marathon in a pretty quick time, in about 6 months, right?
I basically told myself that, you know, if I survive and get to 5K, I'm doing all right. Probably will never, ever be able to run more than 10, because who does that? And then next thing you know, I signed up for a half marathon, and I said, okay, well, I made it to 10. If I can make it to 10 and not die, I'm pretty sure I could do this. And signed up, and yeah, didn't die.
Well, good for you. Yeah. Now, you did get an injury, though, and that meant that you couldn't run for a while, and I think that may be when you realized how much you enjoyed it and how much you missed it when you weren't able to do it, right?
Well, after I finished that half marathon, I went to Mexico, and I came back, and I knew something was wrong. I had stress fractures in my foot and in my leg, unbeknownst to me exactly what it was, but the pain wouldn't go away. Nothing I could do would go away, make it go away. So I went to the doctor, and then they figured it out. Yeah, you have a bunch of stress fractures in your back and in your foot and in your leg, and you're going to be in a cast, an air boot, for the next 12 weeks. Sit down and enjoy the downtime. And it wasn't very enjoyable. I was pretty cranky most of the time. So that made me realize that, holy crap, this is something that I really like doing, and this is making me really sad because I can't do it. So next time, I'm not going to go so gung-ho crazy and run all the time, or else I'm going to be back in this air cast, and I'm going to be really cranky.
So, but in spite of that, you did graduate pretty quickly to doing more than just half marathons, and you've started doing trail running, you've started doing ultra marathons and that kind of thing.
Yeah, basically, I guess I went from 5K to completing a 50K ultra trail race last May in the span of 3 years.
Good for you.
Also, never thought I would ever run 50K. I used to call those people like crazy, and they were aliens from outer space, because no one human could ever do something like that. And I did, and I didn't die.
Yeah. Tell me about that experience. What was the trail race that you did, and how did it go?
It was called the Blackfoot Ultra here in Edmonton. And the first year I ran it, I ran what they call the baby, and which is 25 kilometers. And I thought, wow, this is pretty fun. I could do this. I could do two loops. And the next year I signed up for the 50, and life got a little busy and didn't have time to train for it properly whatsoever. It was a Hail Mary shot in the dark, thinking, you know, if I make it one loop and I'm still okay, I'm going to try at the worst case scenario, I could walk the entire way and I'll still finish. I still finished and I wasn't dead last. So I'm actually quite proud of myself for that. And I'm going to make a shirt and it's going to say, you know, I finished the Blackfoot Ultra and all I got was this ribbon, but I'm still proud I did it.
Good for you. Wow. And what's next? What else do you aspire to do with your running?
Well, I have this little road ID bracelet that has all sorts of badges on it from 5 to 50K, but I'm missing one that says 42.2.
Okay.
So I signed up for the Banff Marathon in June, and I haven't ever run the actual full marathon distance in a race, so I'm hoping that this one goes okay.
So you skipped past the marathon when you did your first 50K event?
Yes, and my couple friends call it the Ultra Never Marathon Club, and now I want to be part of the, I have that 42.2 little badge on my bracelet to say, okay, I did this too.
All right, and you are, I understand you're keeping a food log for iRun for the next issue of the magazine. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I slipped on my driveway in the beginning of January, and I hit my head, and I got a concussion. So when I saw the request to do something like that, I thought, you know, well, I'm not running right now, and I'm kind of bored, so maybe this will be something to keep me occupied for the time being till I recover and I'm allowed to run again. So I thought it'd be kind of interesting to do, and yeah, it's a bit of an eye-opener.
Yeah, what have you learned from keeping a food log?
That I eat too much peanut butter and I probably drink too much alcohol.
Okay. Well, I know that peanut butter is important to you. You even wrote that a good training plan has to involve peanut butter. That's part of the, I guess that's non-negotiable for you.
Non-negotiable, exactly.
Yeah. But you don't realize how much you're eating until you write it down sometimes, right?
Or you don't realize how bad it is sometimes. Like I said, writing down that I ate a small bowl of chips is like, wow, do I do that often? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It does help. I mean, I'm all for information and data and tracking things. So I totally, if you want to know what you're doing and you want to keep track of it and you want to learn from it and you want to change it, it helps to write it down.
Exactly. And you also have to go easy on yourself too, because you got to enjoy a little bit of life sometimes.
Absolutely. Now, tell me, as you take a step back and you think back to 4 years ago when you were on this vacation in Asia and you weren't a runner, and you think about all you've done since then, what's your perspective on that?
That I can't believe that I didn't do this earlier, because it's made me a little bit, you know, it's made me a lot more aware of my own life and my own health and the fact that, you know, at some point I should worry about my health, because we're not getting any younger, and doing something like this will make me live just a smidge longer, hopefully, and live a better life, have a better quality of life, rather than constantly feeling like I can barely run up the stairs carrying a basket of laundry, or, you know, take my dog to the dog park and chase him around. And now I can do all that and not even think twice about it.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I think non-runners and people who aren't into this, they tend to think that we're doing it for the long-term benefits, for the cardiovascular benefits, the fact that maybe we'll be healthier and live longer, but you do feel better all the time.
I do.
Right?
I do sleep better, and I do find that those days where I come home, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so tired, I'm exhausted, and I force myself to put my shoes on and get dressed and get out the door and go run for, even if it's a short 5 kilometers, I instantly come home with a better attitude. I have more energy. I feel happier. Like, you can ask my husband, he'll say the same thing. Like, as soon as I'm cranky or I'm angry or whatever, he says, maybe you should go for a run. You always come back a little bit happier.
Yeah.
And he's right.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned you're going to do the Banff Marathon. I understand you have other plans this summer as well, that you're going to be part of a relay. Is that right?
A relay race for the Sinister Seven. I always had my eye on that race because it always felt like it was something that would be too hard for me to do, because anyone who knows me as a runner knows that I despise hills. I look at hills, I swear, and I walk away.
Okay.
And I'm doing leg four, which is pretty hilly for me. And my goal is to conquer it, A, before the cutoff, and B, not die.
Okay. And what is the Sinister Seven?
It's an ultra-trail race that takes place down in Crow's Nest Pass in Alberta. And it's near the town site of Frank's, where Frank's slide happened. So there's a whole series of little mountains and hills there, and it's known for being a terrible, awful, wanting-to-kill-you kind of race.
Okay.
And for some reason, I really want to do it.
So you are confronting your dislike of hills.
Fears.
Yeah.
My fear of hills, my dislike of hills, and maybe, just maybe, I'll be okay with running hills.
Okay.
Just okay. I won't like it, but I'll be okay with it.
You'll take it on and you'll do it and you'll get to the other side. Jenny, it's really...
And then I can say I did it.
Yeah, exactly. Jenny, it's really great to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
That's Jenny Pham, a runner from Edmonton. Coming up next, we're going to tell you about something called the Secret Marathon 3K. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Kate McKenzie has been with us before on iRunRadio with her remarkable story about running a marathon in Afghanistan and some of the incredible women that she met there. Now Kate is organizing an event on March 7th that is all about making women feel safe on the streets of Canada. Kate, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks so much. It's good to be back.
Let's talk about your story once again, about the marathon that you ran in Afghanistan, your first marathon, and some of what you learned from that, which led to a documentary, and then we'll talk about how it led you to creating this event, which is going to be happening here in Canada.
Yeah, so my first marathon was in Afghanistan, which is not really the traditional place to do your first marathon.
No. How many people can say that, right? I mean, I don't know anyone
it's
else.
True.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. Definitely, it was a unique experience. But, you know, I had this amazing opportunity. I heard about the marathon from a fellow Canadian runner, Martin Parnell, and he told me about these women that were over in Afghanistan that were running in that country's first ever marathon. And, you know, as he told me about the story, he said, you know, that these women couldn't just go out and go for a run like you or I could. They couldn't just put on their shoes and head outside for their training, because when they did that, people were throwing rocks at them, they were insulting them, and you know, they were even getting threats from terrorists to themselves or to their families. And so in order to train, they were actually doing the full 42.2 kilometers in loops around a small enclosed courtyard that's like the size of a backyard, right?
Wow.
And I heard that. I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, and I was so inspired because, you know, it was something I kind of took for granted, that I could just go for a run and, you know, go and do that in my community at any time. And so, you know, I heard about this and I said, well, how do we help? Like, how can we help support what they're doing? Because this is incredible.
And you created a documentary out of that called The Secret Marathon. And I think that turned your mind to the whole idea of running and security, being able to run in places that were safe, and how running is tied to prosperity in a lot of ways, right?
Absolutely. Well, you know, when we went over there and, you know, we're able to be part of the Marathon of Afghanistan, it was so inspiring because we saw, here's a country that, you know, a lot of the times what we hear about in the news is all the negative things that happen there, right? We hear about war, we hear about terrorism. And yet, you know, here's a community that came together and said, well, what if we could change that?
what if we could use a run as a way to be able to help make our country a little bit safer? What if we could, you know, make an event that allows both men and women to come alongside each other and do something that is so, you know, so human, to run or to walk, you know, and just to move, but to do that in safety and to do that together. And, you know, as I saw that, I thought, wow, this is really inspiring, because they're, by creating a safe race, they're also creating a safe place.
I read something that you wrote about your own experience while running in Canada. You actually had a scary moment, scarier than anything you experienced in Afghanistan. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so, you know, when I started training to go for this run in Afghanistan, you know, there's lots of times where I was running and, you know, I'd have to try to fit in these training runs after, you know, a long day at work. And, you know, sometimes as it happens, right, like, you get home late and you think, oh my gosh, well, I have to get out for that training run and I need to get the kilometers in, right? And so one of those runs, you know, I went out and I knew, you know, it was already after dark and, you know, I don't like to have to run out of after dark if I don't have to. And I went out and, you know, there was this large group of men that was in front of me as I was rounding a corner, and you know, people were really loud. It was clear that people were drunk. There's smashed bottles on the ground, you know, and you know, the one guy started, you know, catcalling. Another person yelled out something, you know, and I didn't feel safe, right? Like, as I was in this space, I was just like, I need to get out of here and I need to run faster, right? And it's in those kinds of moments that you realize that, like, running isn't just about, you know, being able to go and be active and be able to exercise. The ability to run and to feel safe to run is also that feeling of being free, right? And in that moment, I didn't feel free. I didn't feel safe. And that's only one small moment. And to think about that, that was what was happening for these women in Afghanistan on a regular basis. I just thought, well, that's not right. Like, there's got to be a way that we can change that. And so when we came back from Afghanistan, when we came back to Canada, I thought, well, you know, if in Afghanistan, if they could use a run to create a safer place, what if we could do that here? You know, why couldn't we apply that same idea to Canada? Why couldn't we reclaim some of these spaces and be able to say, you know, everyone should feel safe to run at night. Everyone should feel safe to run in their community. You know, that should be something that is a basic human right.
It should be, absolutely. So tell me about what you're doing. You're putting together an event called the Secret Marathon 3K in several cities across Canada.
Yeah, so I when we came back to Canada, we, you know, here we'd had this amazing experience, right? And then coupled with that, this experience I just told you about, you know, as I started chatting with other people, I heard their stories of saying, well, yeah, I don't always feel safe to go for a run in my community. I don't always feel safe to go for a run at night. And so we thought, okay, let's do something about this. Let's launch our own event as a way to maybe just make a small difference and make a start. And so what we did is we teamed up with the Running Room and with Canadian Women for Women in Afghanistan, which is a charity that supports education initiatives in Afghanistan. And we said, okay, what if we could do something really bold? What if we could start a 3K race and do it in 10 cities across Canada?
Wow.
And
that's ambitious, Kate.
I know, it's totally ambitious. It is a big, bold idea, but we thought, we don't want to limit this just to one city. You know, this is something that so many people relate to. And so we thought, well, let's start it in 10 cities. And so, you know, we've had volunteers from the Canadian Women for Women in Afghanistan coming out to help us. We've had people from the Running Room, and we've had just, you know, people that are runners, people that are walkers that have said, I'm going to help, I'm going to sign up, or I'm going to volunteer. And it's been incredible. Like, we're just seeing this groundswell of support all the way across Canada, people that are saying, I want to be part of this. And, you know, we picked 3 kilometers because we thought, well, this is something that's not so intimidating, right? So it's a chance for us to be able to bring out our friends, or to bring out, you know, the young people in our life, to bring out our daughters, to bring out our nieces and nephews, and to say to the next generation, listen, like, yeah, this may have been the way things were in the past, but let's celebrate a new kind of future. Let's celebrate a future where everybody's free to run.
So what do you hope to accomplish? What do you want to happen as a result of this run?
You know, a couple of things. I think one of the things is that we want to be able to create a space that people feel safe and they feel part of a community so that we can remove maybe one of those barriers that people might have felt about being able to go out for a run at night. So this is a chance for anyone to come out and say, okay, by joining together with this community, I can go out and I can walk and run in my community and I can feel safe to do that. So first and foremost, that's what I want to do, is I want to give that as a taste so that we get a chance to see what it could be like, you know, the kind of space, the kind of future we want to create. But then the other thing that I'm really excited about is this is a chance for us to be able to help share the story of the Marathon of Afghanistan, of this courageous community that we met. And it's a chance for us to be able to make a difference for that community. So, you know, I'm hoping that we can get 100 people out in every one of our 10 cities. And so far we've got over 200 people, so it's just 800 more to go. I think it's doable. I think it's absolutely possible to get people out and just say, like, let's imagine what this could be.
Well, I really like that second part and how you've added it to the idea of making the streets safer here in Canada and creating that feeling of security, because I think that's the perspective that you want to create. Is you want to think of, you want people to be thinking about how lucky we are here in Canada, even though there's a challenge that you're asking people to rise to meet, that it's also about the freedom we have in this country compared to what people are going through in a place like Afghanistan, right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I really believe that one of the reasons we need to be aware of what's happening out there in the world around us is that it gives us a perspective, right? But while looking at the world around us, we have a chance to learn and we have a chance to say, how can we apply what we've learned out there and bring it back here? Because it's really easy to look at a place like Afghanistan and go, oh, wow, like that's really terrible, you know, that these women don't feel safe to run, and to ignore some of the challenges that we have right here in our own backyard. And so I think if we can say, we have these challenges too, let's work together. And by working together, you know, then we're able to do something where we can all say we're making steps forward towards equality.
So, Kate, where can people find out more information and sign up if they want to run on March the 7th?
So for anyone who wants to get involved, they can go to thesecretmarathon.com/3krace. We've got more information there about the film and about how you can sign up to get involved. And, you know, we've got 10 cities across Canada that people can sign up for, but we also have a virtual location. So if you're nowhere near any of the 10 cities,
right,
there's still a way for you to participate virtually, right?
Good stuff.
So, yeah.
Perfect. Well, Kate, congratulations. I mean, really, this is a remarkable thing that you're doing, and I wish you the best of luck, and I hope you get huge
Thank
support
you.
For this. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's Kate McKenzie, and that is it for this edition of iRun Radio. You can find more running tips and stories at irun.ca. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.